Welcome to Deeper Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is episode 4, season 2.
That's right.
Welcome back, Don.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how was your journey?
My journey was eventful.
All right.
Very eventful, but praise the Lord.
You're back.
Amazing, yes.
That is good. Yes. Well, yes. We want to thank you as always. You're the world's greatest co-host. I was just about to trade you, but I don't know why. I'm sorry. Yeah, your husband protested big time on that one.
He did? Okay.
No, you can't do that.
Okay. I have to tell you.
Well, as always, we'd like to thank our podcast listeners. Any social media they may be using, Instagram, WhatsApp, YouTube, Twitter, you know, all the others they're using. You can send all your questions and comments to 954-388-8780, of course, via WhatsApp. Yep. Do you know, Don, how many times that number's been called all
I know, year? Right?
Okay, just wanted to know. But put everything aside, we have a very, very, very special guest today.
Brand new news.
I mean, I wouldn't say wet behind the ears.
No, he's not wet.
He seems to be very experienced. But I would call him the shepherd to the addition to the fold.
What?
He's the addition.
He's the addition to the shepherd. The fold. The shepherd addition to the fold.
Yes.
All right.
He's the third. Already have two. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, I know, right?
But this brother, his accreditation is real good. Gervon Marsh mentioned him so eloquently yesterday.
He did. Yes.
From Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, woo-hoo. And they couldn't see that. from Maranatha, assistant to Gervon.
Mm.
Is there. When I first saw him, I said, man, that's his brother.
I know, right?
He has a wonderful wife named Cherise, and they're expecting. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
But check out his academics from Yale.
I know, right?
I mean, Yale.
He's an intelligent one.
Yes. A master's in divinity, right?
Yeah.
Yes, brother. And then he went to North Caribbean, where everybody is, hey, that's the place to go.
That's right.
And he's been with the Florida Conference in 2017?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Yep.
Not bad, brother. Welcome.
Welcome.
To the Plantation family. Welcome.
That's right.
And now we're going to take a time for a word of prayer before we start anything.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, we thank you once again for this beautiful day. Thank you for the Sabbath you've given us. Thank you for the message from the new pastor, Lord. We ask you to continue to bless his family wholesomely, that he will continue to give the words out to the ones that need it, Lord, inside the church and outside the church, Lord. But continue to bless us. Bless this podcast as always. And we thank you for all you've done. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So, Pastor, welcome aboard to Pastor, to Plantation SDA. When you got the call, probably, I don't know who it was from, Gervon or maybe the Florida Conference, how was your reaction?
Well, to put my reaction in context, I need to explain my knowledge of Plantation.
All right, brother.
So, South Florida, I heard of Plantation as a church that was open to growth, was very diverse. And so that's the image I had of Plantation in my head. And so when I got that call, I was delighted because that's an opportunity for me to grow. And I can, as you'll find out going forward, any multicultural experience or community, that's where I like to be. In particular, because you get to experience different cultures, different ways of being. And that's the rainbow of God's creation, right? That diversity.
Yes.
So I always like to be in a context like that. So when I got the call for Plantation, I was delighted because that for me was another opportunity to continue growing,
mm-hmm.
deepen my experience, my understanding of God's people,
mm-hmm.
and how relating and ministering to God's people can help me to grow as an individual. Mm-hmm. And so that for me was exciting news.
Okay. Amen. So where were you before? You were at Maranatha, you were assistant pastor over there?
Yes. So I served with Pastor Marsh there,
mm-hmm.
as an associate pastor. And there I had many responsibilities in terms of new believers in terms of their Christian formation. They're settling into the church, into Adventism as a culture. So I worked with that. I also worked in particular in pastoral care, with visitation and stuff, because that's something that's close to my heart. As one who, you know, who studies pastoral care deeply.
Amen.
Yeah.
So what is your actual title here?
Yeah, what is your
My title at Plantation is Associate Pastor for Youth, Young Adult Ministry and Ministries.
Okay.
I'll be working with the various ministries at Plantation to achieve the vision that God has for the church in growing, connecting with the community.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What is your role? Have you ever done anything with the youth before?
Oh, yes. So I'm actually, and thank God for education at NCU. Mm. To graduate from NCU, you had to be inducted as a master guide, as a senior youth leader. And so I was trained, drilled in youth ministry.
Wow.
So at Maranatha, I was actually very involved in the Pathfinder ministry, classes, working with the master guides. As a matter of fact, I was training master guides.
Wow.
I was at Maranatha. Okay. So very, very involved. And sad to note, we on the day that Corona hit, and I cannot forget the day, March 14th, 2020, it was the last Sabbath I was in church with the community of faith, you know. We were launching, on the Friday evening, we launched a youth program with the intention to, not it wasn't dead, but in the sense of reviving youth ministry. So we had a program that focused on not just youth, but also parents, in terms of educating parents and their role in terms of youth ministry in the church. Because if parents don't take the children, they don't come. If they don't
come.
We launched a program that Friday evening, and the Sabbath was supposed to be a celebration going into a youth ministry open house that we had planned for the AY program.
Right.
But then came the 19th. Then came Rona 19, you know. We didn't accomplish all that we wanted.
That's okay. You can just do it here now. You can just do it here now.
Yeah.
Just bring the whole thing and bring it right here. We have so many young people here. And definitely. So you have the uniform and everything. So when it comes to Pathfinder Day, you put on the uniform?
Yes, I have my
there
full
you go. So you know that the next time we do this, that you will be speaking for the Pathfinders.
Okay. I hear you.
You just step right into past the Nugent's shoes. I know, huge shoes to fit, right?
Very good pastor, so I know it's a big one to step into.
He'll be working closely with Elder Mozart,
and I do the adventurers, actually. I do the adventurers. So definitely that's great, though. We have so many young people with implantations, so it's going to be a great opportunity for you to meet everybody eventually. I don't know, did you meet Addy yesterday?
Addy is equal to energy.
That's right. Addy equals energy. Yes, she does.
She is a delight.
So she just took on the role of youth as well. So it's great. Great. Things are working out. Nice.
Wonderful.
Nice. Lots to do. All right.
So I wanted to think, it was nice to see Jack up there yesterday.
It was, wasn't it?
Because Jack said that normally a Florida conference representative would be there to announce you and introduction.
Yeah.
But it was so nice.
But Germán was there still, but
the
introduction is usually done by, you have to do everything.
Yeah, but it was good to see Jack.
It was nice to see that Jack was able to be there to represent the elders.
I appreciate that.
Jack is a good soul. I've met him and John and
wonderful people.
Kind guy. One of the kindest ever.
I know. They're nice.
Your sermon yesterday, all I got to say is just powerful. It was powerful, with hope. Yeah. I'll put it that way.
Yes.
Your kingdom come.
Mm-hmm.
Why that title?
Mm-hmm.
So here's how I, so first of all, it's in the prayer, it's in the text, right? Your kingdom right. come.
Mm-hmm.
But as I come into plantation, and this is generally where my heart is set and where my mind is set, I come in a prayerful mode.
Okay.
But I also come with the kingdom of God as kind of a paradigm for how I want to do ministry.
Okay.
Right? Because as I mentioned, when you look at how, and I think we're going to get into this, when you look at how Jesus, the book of Matthew in particular, and how Jesus tries to make sense of this divine ministry that he brings to earth, he tries to bring it in a context, in a symbol or image that is really understood in his context.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very difficult monarchical system that he came in, where there's rules of kings and this. So the best way for people to understand what he comes to do is to explain it in what is most accessible to them.
Yes.
So when I say God's, you know, your kingdom come, what I want to bring in my ministry is what Jesus brought to earth.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. I want to bring, as I mentioned, God's presence, God's power, and God's principles into being. So mm-hmm. your kingdom come is at once a prayer for me and a prayer for the church, and also kind of the foundation for where I want my ministry to go at plantation.
Amen. 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 There was a part in your sermon that you said, God is powerful and he disrupts our lives. What did you mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I said God's kingdom come as a disruptive force,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So let me just refer to Matthew for a second. Now, when it appears that when people heard the term kingdom or its cognates like king or something else,
mm-hmm.
the idea of power came to mind.
Mm.
Take, for instance, King Herod in Jerusalem, Matthew chapter 2, right?
Yes. Yes.
They hear that these people from the these kind of people who shouldn't know anything about this king of Jerusalem comes from afar, the wise men, right? The Magi, they come and they're asking about the king of the Jews.
Mm.
And the King Herod sits on his throne and someone whispers in his ear and says, listen, there's a new king in town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So God's kingdom comes with a kind of force. The good news of the king of Israel, right?
Yeah.
Comes with a kind of force that shocks Herod on his throne.
Mm.
But also, it shocks Israel. It's Israel, the community of faith itself.
Mm-hmm.
So God's kingdom comes with a kind of sharp force, right?
Mm.
That disrupts everything that's happening. Right, so Israel, when they hear the news that God's kingdom is coming, or God's kingdom king is born in Bethlehem, they're saying, well, wow, the promise has been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying.
Right.
The Messiah has come. That's what they're hearing when they hear the king of the Jews has been born.
Yes.
Herod, you know, being part Jew, hears this. He has a sense of what that means, but he knows that he's ruling in the stead of the Roman government.
Yes.
So when he hears that, he's thinking, wow, I'm losing power, right?
Yes, yes.
The kingdom of God comes. This is not good news for me as king over Rome, sitting in a seat of power. So when God's kingdom comes, it disrupts all the normalcy that's happening in the world.
Yeah.
So when I say God's kingdom come as a disruptive force, it comes to disrupt our normal ways of being. If we're comfortable, it tells us there's a sense of urgency.
Mm.
If we're too dormant, it tells us we need to be active.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it disrupts our normal ways of being and brings us into a place of attentiveness to what God is gonna do through the kingdom that is coming. So yeah. That's what I was hinting at when I say God's kingdom come as a disruptive force.
Awesome.
You're exactly right. Mm. You mentioned yesterday, well, a lot of things you mentioned.
Yeah, you did.
You talk about the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. You talk about the affirmation of his name,
mm-hmm.
the power of his sovereignty.
Yeah.
But one thing stood out was you said that we lack confidence in his power. Why?
Mm.
Yeah, so, and it goes back to this thing where, now, And I'm going to use the analogy of this, you know, this frog in the water. If you put the frog in the hot water, it's going to jump out, you know. But if you put the frog in the cold water and begin to heat it, right, the frog would probably stay there and you know.
And then it's cooked.
Yeah.
So for us, we're in this place, we're in this lull, right? So we're like the frog who sits in the cold water and then the fire comes on and then we get so used to the power, the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know that we think it's kind of normal to see this happening. So we forget what we're really talking about when we talk about the glory of God, the holiness of God. We kind of get kind of too used to it, I want to say. So it's easy to miss when God's glory is present and God's power is present when you have food on your table every day. Right. If you're not worried about the basic necessities of life,
yes.
Your health is in good. You're in good health. You can miss when the power of God is working, right? When you get up every day and you go out, you drive, you press the car brake and it works. You can forget that the power of God is still available, right?
Yeah.
But when you escape out of that accident. It shocks you into a realization, I didn't save myself just now.
Amen.
You know, it reminds us of the power of God. It reminds us of which you're going to talk about also, the presence of God with us.
Mm.
Right? And so sometimes we the kingdom of God comes to disrupt our normalcy to remind us how powerful God is.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because look at Herod. He thinks that in his power, he is going to wipe out the Messiah. Mm. He thinks that in his command, and it's going back to Pharaoh, right?
Yeah.
He thinks in his power, he's going to kill. He's going to find this baby Moshe. He's going to find and kill. So no deliverer will come for Egypt. And it's the same thing that's happening in the Matthew story, right? He's going to kill this king. So there's no power to disrupt him.
Yeah.
But God's power again is evident. Right, God sends a message to the Magi and embarrasses Herod. Right,
mm-hmm.
He thinks that he, in his craftiness, he's going to tell them, "Oh, I want to worship the king too. So bring me good news, so I know where the king is." But God's power, right, shows up in a shocking way and embarrasses King Herod.
Mm.
Right, so the Magi says, "You can't fool us. We're going the next route. We are not telling you where the king is because we know your intentions.
Right.
It's revealed to us by God's holy angels, right? And so God's power has to come in a shocking way sometimes to shock us and disrupt our normal ways of being, to remind us of the God that we serve. And so in saying that yesterday, I'm hoping that through my interaction, my ministry, what God can do through me and the Plantation Church, that we're gonna be a disruptive force in society.
Right.
Right.
A
plantation will be a disruptive force in society. Will bring a kind of disruption that people take notice that God is still the sovereign being of the universe. And that's a lesson that God was telling, was teaching Herod. You are king over Israel, you're king over Rome, but I am king over the universe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sent the Magi ahead of time. To worship my son, but also to create a way of escape for his life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So pretty much you're saying we just need to, like in the movement of the spirit, we just need to invoke his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Just invoke his presence. Mm-hmm. Wherever.
Okay, so I have a question now for you. That sounds wonderful. It sounds really, really great if we just hold on to God's power, but let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
We are in church for years. We sit in our pews. We may have a ministry or work in a ministry, and that's about it. So we know we've done, we checked that off on the list and said, well, we did that part. How are we supposed to really come to terms with God is really real in our lives and how powerful he is when we're just going through the motions? Yes, stuff may happen. We do a couple of prayers and then we're back on track and we're good. How are we supposed to, as a people in our church, we go to church all the time. We were going to church all the time. We still go to church because we just sit in our homes and go to church now. But how are we supposed to really not only experience the power of God, but utilize that power to help others and to do what God has put us here to do?
So one of the best ways I can talk about the gospel is how it has changed my own life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that reminds me about the power of the gospel is how I was saved by the power of the gospel, or God's own power.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what, because in the end, it's always a personal matter. It's always
yes.
how you as a person have witnessed the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mentioned this kind of briefly in my introduction, in my conversation with the board, when I was being introduced to the church board,
mm-hmm.
is that I came from a community in Jamaica where the life expectancy, I'm probably in my teenage years too, was 17, 18, the life expectancy.
Wow.
Right? Because the young people, because of crime and violence, right?
Yeah.
Where graduation for most young girls would be graduation to parenthood, being a teenage parent.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I have seen, and people have testified about, they wonder, how is it that I can be the person I am now growing up where
in
I
that environment.
Right? Yeah. And I tell them, I don't know. Because if it was up to me alone, I wouldn't be here in this place that I am today.
Wow.
And so it took more than my own volition, my own desire.
Mm.
It had to do something beyond me. And I named that thing the power of God. Mm. And so the first thing that reminds me about God's power is how I came into a relationship with God. It's the power of God that pulled me in and saved me as an individual.
Mm.
And so my first appeal to anyone who is, you know, questioning or has forgotten the power of God is think about how you were saved.
Mm.
Right? That's the most powerful way to say it, to explain how I can name and witness to God's power, how I have been saved. So when I come in and yes, God, I know God's power to save me, and I sit down. Let me say this as a part of explaining that. The prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is a prayer for a community. It's not my Father in heaven, right? It's not give me of my sins.
Yes.
It's not lead me not into temptation. Mm. It's not deliver me from evil.
Mm.
It's the plural. It's us. It's or.
Mm.
Right? And so the blessing of God's power in your life places upon you a responsibility.
Mm.
Places upon me a responsibility to now be an agent, be a disciple of this power that I have experienced.
Mm.
And so while this might sound simple and simplistic, that's really the power of the gospel. The gospel, Paul says, you know, it's foolishness to some people, but it's the simplicity of it that gives it its power and effectiveness, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that divine power is I experience divine power, and then divine power works through me, who should not have experienced divine power in the first place, to bring the divine power into experiencing someone else's life, right?
Yes, yes.
So It is a shunning of one's duty. It is a shunning of one's duty to, after having experienced this power, to sit back and say, okay, I am saved. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? I have the responsibility, having been saved, and we say it many times in so many ways, but it's a simple fact of it, right? We now have to go. Take, for instance, Christ, and there's a reason why God didn't just come as God, as this being who is unable to be understood or unable to be reached. Right. But God came in human form for a very, very specific reason,
right?
God was incarnated for a very specific reason, and that reason is to give a model to us as to how we are going to live having experienced this divine power.
Absolutely.
Right? So we now have this responsibility to embody and incarnate in how we live this power of God. which is why I go to the point, the last point of submitting, right, to the principles of God, because the principles, the power and the presence of God is expressed in the principles of God, right? So it has to be an intentional willingness to say, I have experienced it, and I'm going to submit to it so that others can experience it too. That's the simplest way, and that's the real honest truth. If someone doesn't want to do that, they're going to be, in the words of Jesus, right? I mentioned the principles of the kingdom. They're going to be like the one who builds a house in the sand. There are only two ways. There are really only two ways. You're only going to hear the word, heed the word, and your house is built on the rock. Or you're going to feel the power, experience the power, do nothing, and build your house on the sand. That's the reality of the principles of the kingdom. You know, there's no other better way to say it.
So how do we translate that to our young people? Because if our young people have the example of the older people doing that, how do we translate that to the young people? How would you translate that to the young people as a youth pastor?
And in a sense, we cannot blame the young people because we are meant to be models, right? We are meant to show them how to go about this process, right? That's what it is in parenting. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So many others. I'd point them to, and I just love the Bible. I'd point them to young Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Young Jesus says, so it's still in a parental relationship, right?
Mm.
And we can put it in a church where you have church mothers, church fathers, and you have children in the church.
Right.
They're in the temple. And Mary says to Jesus, we've been searching for you. Right? And Jesus says, well, you ought to know who I am, right? I'm a child of, I am God's son.
Yeah.
And I have to be about my father's business.
Right.
And so we have to help young people to understand that even when adults are walking in a way that is not congruent with how God calls us to walk, they too have to want to walk in that way.
Yeah.
In the example of Jesus, right? Because that's your greatest model. Your parents are to be your greatest model, your human models.
Yeah.
But it's not always the case. And so we point them to young Jesus, right? This young Jesus who is saying, you know, I hear you and understand you, but I have a responsibility to my God. I have to be about God's business. Yes. And so that's where I would point him to. You know, look at Jesus in his youth, right? With all that was going around him, he was still committed to God's kingdom. Still committed. So that's where I would point him as an example as to how, you know, lowering down the tone a bit, the language of it, to show them Jesus' example.
Amen.
Well,
go ahead, Joe.
Relevant question, Don. Relevant. She brings it home, brother. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. And if I would add to that, I would speak about, you know, what Paul says. You know, let no one despise thy youth, right? And I love that text. And Paul says, be an example. And Paul, I like this. Paul says, Paul wasn't just general. Paul didn't just say, be an example, right?
Right.
Paul says, be an example to the believers.
Yeah.
So that again places a kind of responsibility to be an example in a certain kind of kingdom context, right?
Exactly.
Your example should be in terms of living out the principles as a believer, not just any kind of example. So that again, I would say, you know, if you're gonna be an influencer, a social media influencer, you're gonna be
That's a good place.
The TikTok person, if you're going to be
right,
do it as an example of the believers, right? Do it to be an example of those who are in the body of faith.
Nice.
Question like for you. I'm sorry, Don, you had something?
No, go ahead, Joe.
You spoke a lot about the principles of the kingdom. You know, the poor in spirit, the meek. Seekers, and then you mentioned the submission. Talk to me about that submission. That's the daily bread bit you were talking about. Can you expound on that?
Right. So The prayer, let me break down the prayer in it first.
Okay.
So the prayer has, I think, seven petitions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Those are the three petitions that addresses God's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have four others, right? Mm-hmm. Forgive us of our sins, or daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but lead us, you know, right? So first of all, there are three petitions that deal with God. Now, the prayer comes down in a kind of a descending order, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from God down to the community of faith, right? Mm-hmm. So after, as a community, we attend to God's agenda, right? God's name, affirming God's name, the power of God, the holiness of God's name, you know, living in God's kingdom, doing God's, it comes to God's will.
Mm.
And as I said, God's will is expressed in the print, because some people say, okay, I can't do God's will because I don't know God's will. Well, if you want to know God's will, it's plain to us. Yeah. Jesus says, God's will is this. It is explicit and explained in the principles of God's kingdom. It's not hidden from us, because God is not an unfair teacher to test us on something that he hasn't taught us.
Exactly.
Right? If he's going to test you, he's going to teach you on what he's going to test you on.
Right.
Right? And so God reveals the principle of the kingdom. And if we're going to pray, hallowed be thy name, if we're going to pray your kingdom come, and if we're going to pray thy will be done, it means that we have to submit to that.
Yeah.
This prayer is not just words, petition being uttered up in the air.
Yeah.
This is about saying, God, we are willing to participate in your will on earth.
Amen.
We are willing to participate in the kingdom that is going to come. Mm. And that participation requires, first and foremost, submission.
Mm.
And that submission looks like this. I'm going to pray for my daily bread. But if I pray for my daily bread, at the same time, I have to consider how I am managing the blessings that God has given in my life. Am I being a good steward of the bread that I am receiving? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't pray for my bread and not pray for my neighbor's bread, because it's our bread, right?
Mm.
So if I get bread, if God gives me bread, I have a responsibility to my neighbor who doesn't have any bread, because it's an Our Father prayer. It's a community of faith prayer. It's an individualistic prayer. Even though we go into the closet, remember the prayer is introduced as go into your closet.
Yes.
Mm.
This prayer is prayed in private, but it's lived out in the public.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
It's prayed in secret.
Yes.
But it's lived out in God's kingdom.
Mm.
Right? So this submission is us becoming active disciples of the kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So we are like signposts pointing to God. Right?
Mm.
We're saying, this is the way to the kingdom. That is the way to power. This is the way to God's presence. That's what we are doing right there.
Yeah.
Right. Go ye.
You know, so we are, I like seeing those, you know, folk on the street, and sometimes they have the sign, and they're spinning it, you know, this way to the car wash,
mm-hmm.
this way to that, this way to the sale. Yeah. You know, that's kind of how we are. We're like pointing the direction, right?
Yeah.
And we're doing that through how we're living. We're saying the principles you see in my life are pointing to the power of God and pointing to the presence of God in your midst, among you,
mm-hmm.
in your life, available to you.
Yeah.
So our duty is to make God real. You know, God is not just a concept, right? As I said, like the clockmaker God, God is not just some being who did something and gone off and is not around to see what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Our life, our submission to the principles suggests that the power of God is present right now, and the presence of God is with us right now,
mm.
simply by how I, as a disciple of the kingdom, is embodying and showing evidence of the power and presence in our midst.
Awesome, awesome.
Wow.
All right, Joe. You have anything else?
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
You got that part. No, I got that part. I just want to move on now. One last question. You kind of said it, but I want to hear it from you again. What is your actual goal for Plantation yourself?
Oh, before you ask that, Joe, let me ask this one, because it's about the sermon, and then we can go ahead.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
I have one more thing to ask you about your sermon. You said live by preferences, live by practice, live by policy. Can you tell us a little bit more why you chose those three things to say?
Okay.
Well, actually there are about five. So in, I think I left one out. And let me see if I can mention it since we're touching it right now. Mm-hmm. But that is kind of the five ways how we, as people, mm-hmm. we live our lives and we make decisions. Yeah. We refer to them sometimes as the five P's of decision making.
Okay.
Right? Preference, practice, procedure, policy, and principle. Right?
Policy and principle.
So okay. Preference, practice, procedure, policy, and principle. Mm-hmm. So in terms of preference, people, we have our preferences as individuals, right? And it's good to recognize those and honor those. Mm. But those are not the foundation, the pylons and which God's kingdom is built, mm. right? Because as you see, preferences are subjective.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
They are subjective. And when we talk about practice, we're talking about habitual ways of doing things, right? Mm. We have a habit of doing this way, things this way and that way. Mm. And if that's the way we normally do it, then it can't be done any other way. Mm. Right? Okay. Mm. And kind of procedures like it's a predictable, structured way, logical way of doing something. Mm. And sometimes these P's get in the other ways of the other three essential P's that I mentioned, mm. right? And the other P I mentioned is policy.
Yeah.
You know, the set of rules that govern mm-hmm. that govern things, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes these P's, the preference, the practice, the procedure, the policy, stand in the way of God's power and God's presence.
Wow.
Mm.
Right? So if I try to live by my preference and not the principles of God, which are the ways of revealing God's power and presence, then the kingdom of God cannot really come among through my ministry.
Mm.
So I don't want to, you know, come with my preference, my own practice, my own. I come with the principles of the kingdom. That's the scope in which I want to explore ministry, mm. right? Because when I'm living in the principles, I'm certain that the power and presence of God is going to be revealed. But if I'm living according to my practice, my preference, just simple some policies and procedures, and this is the reality. Even in the construction of policies and procedures and practices and preferences, there are ways that are not in line with the kingdom of God. Take, for instance, and I'm going into practical life now. Taking, for instance, practices, policies that limit access to healthcare for people of color.
Yep.
Okay. In the kingdom of God, that's not how it works. In the kingdom of God, it's the poor who get preference.
Yes.
Right? But there are policies, there are practices, there are procedures who would say, no, that's not how it works.
Because I can afford it and I can buy it myself.
Yeah.
So I want the best.
I can buy, exactly. Right. Right. But in God's kingdom,
yeah,
God's kingdom recognizes that in policies, practices, procedures, and preferences, there can be biases.
Yes.
They can be in the principles of God's kingdom.
Yeah.
If I'm living in the principles of God's kingdom, then I'm not leaving room for those things to happen. But here's a good thing.
Mm.
If my preference, if my practice, my procedure and policy is built on the principles of the kingdom,
mm.
then we are in good space, right?
Yeah.
Then we are in a good place.
Yeah.
And so my hope as I come to Plantation, and that's why I chose this sermon and this topic, this theme in particular,
mm.
is because I want to give a vision as to what I hope to do and what I hope to become, because I'm still growing.
Yes.
And my hope is that as I continue to grow in this community of faith, as iron sharpens iron, mm. then I can more fully become a disciple of the kingdom.
Mm.
I can continue to grow as a disciple of the kingdom.
Yes, yes.
And so for one, it is a prayer.
Mm.
I come with a prayer on my heart for the church, mm. for everyone. And it's a prayer I bear in, and the prayer I want to bear in how I live. I want to embody the prayer,
mm.
right? So that's why I chose in particular this sermon, this topic, this theme, this title, mm. this text, Your Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
It's a prayer that is fulfilled by practice.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Yeah. Love that. Love that.
Right. Thanks for that question, Dawn.
Yeah.
But like I said, back to what I was saying earlier, just personally, what is your goal for plantation yourself? What would you like?
First and foremost, I want to grow.
Okay.
Right. One of my favorite verses in Peter is growing grace, right? And so I engage, I embrace this opportunity to come to plantation as an opportunity to grow.
Mm.
Right. I've always, I'm the kind of person who always wants to be growing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I always want to be growing. And so first and foremost, that's what I'm looking at, an opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I'm growing, I'm hoping that I can help those around me to grow too.
Okay.
Amen. Mm.
Right. That's what I'm hoping. Because as I come, and I said before, you know, in explaining the policies, principles, procedures, but as I come, I know I'm coming into a place of giftedness, right? The church, listen, Paul in Corinthians says, in essence, that the problem the church has is not about giftedness.
Mm-hmm.
The church's problem is not giftedness, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's how we work together so that giftedness can be manifested.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Right?
So true.
And so my hope is that I can be a resource. I can be a help in how people tap into their giftedness and really grow into the persons that God wants them to be. So that's my real goal, right? To facilitate growth.
Right.
And what that looks like, even though we are in a community of faith, what growth looks like for you might not necessarily mean what growth looks like for me right now, because God is working with us where we are, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we are working in God's purpose. We are working in God's to fulfill God's will, right? So even as we are working towards a common goal, we are growing as individuals based on where we are planted and how God is leading us in our lives. Mm-hmm. So my goal eventually is to at least say, you know, I can see that the Spirit of God, I can see that you have grown as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna know that. You will know if I'm growing.
Yeah.
Because a part of the principle of the kingdom is that you will know the fruit by its tree, right? Matthew tells us that, right? You know the tree by its fruit.
Yeah.
And my hope is that, as Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit will be evident in how I live in the community of faith and how we live among each other. That's my hope, right? And how we broaden the circle of God's love, of God's grace, how we embrace others into this community of faith so we can all grow in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal. That's my foremost goal, to grow as an individual, and also to help others in God's garden, God's beautiful garden, to grow and blossom and be fruitful.
Amen. Amen.
I like that, my friend. You bloom where you're planted.
Yes. Yes.
I like that. Well, you know, Don, I was talking briefly on you. You were on, but so you know, as we call it here, soccer.
Yeah.
football
over there. So
it's actually football.
You know, I know I'm gonna differ with Don on that.
I don't understand the American stuff because that's just
football, right? Yeah.
Why they have to put American football? Because
Don, he just got finished mentioning policy. That was man-made. Okay, that was. So Gervon said he likes Liverpool.
No.
Man United.
No, I'm sorry. Yes.
Man United.
You like Liverpool.
He's a Liverpudlian. Yes.
And so you like Man U.
I agree with you. Liverpool rules, man.
I think my wife likes Man U first and then maybe Chelsea next. I don't know.
Chelsea.
I just heard her mention it once or twice. So that's it. But she likes that though. So that's your favorite sport?
Yeah, so I actually played soccer for a long while until I got an injury.
Oh,
I played in high school. But at that time, sports medicine wasn't, I mean, even in Jamaica, sports medicine isn't readily available to, you know, if you're not professional, right?
Right.
A bad injury, which kind of, you know, halted my progress or any potential for further. But I still play as a means of exercise, but also for fun and relaxation.
Yeah. Well, he needs to get with Michael Stevenson.
I know, right?
Thompson of youth.
Yep.
I actually spoke with Nick Palm already, and we were talking.
Yeah. Well, you'll see.
Stevenson is like the one.
Yeah, he is a fountain of youth, brother.
Yeah.
He's the one that's in charge of Mission Council.
Yeah, Mission Council. You'll see a lot of him. Yeah, he's a good guy.
He is avid. Yeah.
Well, what does the A stand for in your middle name? You can get it from Gervon.
An A.
Yeah, oh, what
the
A stand for?
Stands for Anthony.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think he said Augustus.
He said Augusta or something.
I'm like, huh?
That's just one of the ways we, yeah.
I'll tell you. Well, the podcast family here, we want to congratulate you and your wife expectancy.
When is she due? Yeah. When is she due?
Yeah.
We are due March
11th. Oh, nice.
Oh, right around the corner.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Okay.
Praying for safe delivery.
Yeah, definitely. You know, because look, Plantation loves deliveries of the babies. They're gonna shower you guys.
Quite a few COVID babies already.
Yeah, they're gonna.
Our son is joining a group of COVID babies.
Yes. Don't worry. You know, hey, it still takes a village, right?
Yes, definitely. Right.
Yeah. It still does. But we want to thank you for your time. We want to thank you just for taking the time to get us on one of many other podcasts we'll get you on next time. Exactly. So hopefully the Pathfinders next, I guess, right?
Yeah.
congratulations with you coming along aboard. Pastor Jen, she raves about you.
I know, right?
We call her PJ. That's her name.
She's PJ.
She's number PJ. Yeah. We were yesterday, we went to, with the children, we were downtown Fort Lauderdale. We helped go feed the children. They took over, but
I know,
Nick and Lorraine and Nicole and Andrew. Yeah, we were all there yesterday. Awesome. It's just wonderful to see them feed the homeless, the disenfranchised, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were so thankful.
Cool experience.
It's something you just have to be there. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple, you know.
Yeah.
So, Pastor McCoy, we want to thank you once again taking the time out.
Mm-hmm.
God has much in store for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I'll give that to you.
Mm.
I give that to myself because I mean that's how I grew up, you know. Mm. And it took a long time for me to find out, but hey, you're never too late. As long as you have breath in your body, you have hope. So I look at it that way. Yeah. So if Don, you have anything else?
No, we just have to do the birthdays after we pray.
Yeah, I just want to mention those after we pray. Mm. So if you lead us out, Pastor, we appreciate it.
Let's pray. We thank you so much, oh God, for this opportunity to share together and reflect on your word, your preached word, in a deeper dive. But as we dive deeper into your word, we're also asking that we would dive deeper into your will in full submission so that your kingdom can come through us. Because we are kingdom disciples. And so I pray that you'll bless the listeners and that your kingdom will indeed come in all our lives.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for that. Amen. And as always, we thank our podcast listeners, the ones that keep listening all the time. We don't know all of them, but we know they're listening. And we want to thank them for that. Any questions and comments? Once again, 954-388-8780. Continue to be blessed. It's a wonderful day out there. Yeah. I'm going to watch football. The American version.
Yeah.
There's two playoff games I got to watch today, so I want to watch those today. And my wife, I got into football a couple of years ago, and she loves it.
Right.
She loves it. I mean, she doesn't go away from her origin, but she loves it. So, Don, I hope you have a great day.
We do. We have a few
days
before we leave. We have to do the
birthdays. Yeah, we got to mention the birthdays.
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got Steve Patterson.
Oh, I remember Steve. I remember him.
Dion Bryan.
Oh, yes. He's assistant. Or is she the head?
No. Well, I don't know. I don't know. She's
finance. Okay.
Section.
Okay.
That is Courtney Rivas.
Courtney Rivas, right. Yeah.
Alethea Tuitt.
Who's yeah, I remember her.
Who's Alethea? I don't remember her.
That's, I got to remember the young lady. She, oh, my God.
Oh, Alethea.
You remember Alethea?
Yes, the teachers. Okay, yeah. Yes.
There and, you go.
Of course, Halima. Miss Halima.
How yeah, Miss Halima. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is one of the kindest ladies you're ever going to meet, Pastor.
No, she's been here forever.
Many, many. Woo, my goodness.
Awesome.
So we want to wish him a happy birthday, wherever day he's at. Summer probably passed or summer coming up. I don't know. Yeah. I just wanted to get those right. And just continue to pray for the podcast,
mm-hmm.
pray for Plantation to grow, because it's going to be something different. I was in Plantation yesterday. It's completely torn apart, but it's coming together when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Don, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Pastor. Once again, all the best to your family, and we'll be seeing you and hearing you soon enough.
Yes. All right.
For having me. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.